looks like it's going to be another fine day.
Who are those guys?
Broadcasting from deep in the heart of the Rocky Mountains. Bringing you an hour of news, commentary, and analysis. It's the Stand Up America Radio Show with your host, retired Army Major General Paul Vallely.
Hello, everybody. This is Stand Up America, your host, Paul Vallely, and our great co-host, Jerry Mullen. Welcome, Jerry.
Paul, how are you today?
Welcome back into the bunker. It is a fine day, Jerry.
It is. We can almost open the roof.
I feel like spring is here.
Yep. We got sunshine filtering in through the peepholes here in the bunker.
Well, we do. We have a great show today, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be broadcasting on righttalk.com. Also, you can reach us through our new blog site on the Internet, which is standupamericaradio.com, or you can go also to www.ospreyradio.us. But check out our new blog. Jerry, I'm real happy with it. We're putting a lot of good intelligence up there that we're receiving around the world. A lot of up-to-date articles. The site is updated every day now.
Yeah, we've also got some great people there that are contributing to it. It's marvelous.
I was listening to Rush this morning, and he was mentioning a subject that we've talked about, the dysfunctionality of the administration and Congress. But more specifically, when you look at what is happening now with the attack on the Justice Department, Gonzalez, and we find out that the firing or the eliminating of about, what, 8 or 9 U.S. attorneys?
8, right.
8 U.S. attorneys. Of course, Clinton fired all of them when he took over, except one that was working on something for the Clintons.
Yeah, he's still hanging around, too.
And he's still around. But the question came up, Rush even posed it this morning, why don't they fight back? Why doesn't the administration fight back, hold their ground? Certainly the same criticism would be due if it was a Democratic leadership in the White House. But if you look at that whole team of President Bush, plus all of his cabinet members, when do they ever stand up and get mad and be tough?
We've been saying that, though, for over 6 years now. And we've got 2 years to go in his term, and I don't see it changing. And that's really kind of sad, because his legacy, I think part of it's going to be this weakness that they've shown by not standing up for what they believe in.
Would we, let's look at you, if you were in that position or I was in that position. Would you allow them to kick you around like that and do nothing, basically?
No, not at all. I wouldn't have stayed.
I don't know any American that would get kicked around like that and not be a little tougher in their stand.
Well, and also we're coming up on an election in just less than 2 years now. And so the Democrats are going to use everything they can to try to blemish what's left of the Republican administration.
Well, they even talked about impeachment action this summer. Certainly many of them forget that we are in a war against radical Islam, and we better get our act together very, very soon, Jerry, across the board, and our leaders better realize that we are under attack. When we look at the likes of Ahmadinejad from Iran, and we look at what is happening now in Gaza, the West Bank, we look at the Horn of Africa, realizing the infiltration into Europe, the spread of the hate in the mosque in America, and certainly we've had on great assessors of that situation, of the radical spread of Islam. But the guest, Jerry, that we're going to have on today, individual I met at the Intelligence Summit down in Florida, and was able to get a copy of his book on cyber terrorism by Dr. Andrew Kolarik, Political and Economic implications. Before I bring Dr. Kolarik on, let me just highlight for our audience what the subject will be about. Cyber terrorism. Belief that outlines many of the recent terrorist activities, political objectives, and their use of cyberspace. That's what the book is about. Much of this book is dedicated to illustrating the use of the global information infrastructure by terrorists for the communication and coordination of distributed terrorist cells, the gathering of target information and intelligence, and the use of cyber criminal activities as what we call a force multiplier for both physical attacks and infrastructure destabilization in America. And that's what the threat is to the United States and to the rest of the world. And we've seen it happen already.
Well, I'd like to see that when the doctor does come on, I'd like to see him explain a little bit in layman's terms what all that means so that our folks out there listening can understand it.
This is Stand Up America. Our guest coming on now is Dr. Andrew Kolarik. We're going to talk about cyber terrorism, the political and economic implications. Andrew, welcome to Stand Up America.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I'll tell you what, I love your book. It is the first book that I've read, though I've studied and assessed cyber terrorism over the last 4 or 5 years. But certainly your book is so definitive that every American should read it, especially those that deal in the information technology area. But tell us a little bit about the book, Andrew, because I think it's very timely and important, and how it can, if we look at the future, you know, we can look at exploding a bomb, what a huge effect, or a nuclear attack, but when you look at tearing down our infrastructure and disrupting the financial markets and everything via the Internet, let's talk a little bit about that threat to the United States.
Absolutely. Well, the first thing is, you know, this global jihad comes in many, many forms. And if they can attack and undermine our economic infrastructure, which is what allows us to sustain fronts in North Korea and, you know, Iraq and bases all over the world and so forth, that's one way. Also, by sabotaging the West's infrastructure, its economic growth, it may give them an opportunity to have their glorious return to the Persian Empire and all these other things. It's kind of like, let's take us down so that they can build themselves up.
We know that's what their objective is, that's been indicated by some of the individuals that have come out of Iran and who have told that to our assessors on what is going on in Iran specifically.
Well, and also, you know, this is a political ideology that we're dealing with, more so than it is a religion. And ideology now with, you know, the Internet and global communications and so forth, instead of it being digested and, you know, months and years and maybe even decades before it gets from one country around the world to another, it's happening in a moment's notice. So there are brands of this radical political ideology that continue to surface and will continue to surface, and our whole infrastructure is being used to facilitate that communication.
Dr. Kolarik, this is Jerry Moland. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I'd like to comment, first of all, you know, that there are so many people within the halls of our government that just don't seem to grasp the seriousness of the Islamic threat. And I'd like to ask you, are there people out there like yourself who are trying to wake up these people and get them educated on this threat?
Well, there's a lot of cynicism on the part of people like myself, because we contact our officials, we talk to Homeland Security, we deal with all these other organizations and think tanks and so forth, and they're not taking it seriously because they're not understanding that it's not the infrastructure, the resiliency of the infrastructure that's important. It's the information that is being communicated over the infrastructure. And until that understanding actually surfaces on a collective level, it's not moving forward. The Veteran Affairs breach is actually a tipping point, because it showed our men and women overseas fighting to defend us were vulnerable. Their families were made vulnerable.
What happened on that, Andrew? I know that hit the news some time ago. What actually was that breach?
Well, an employee was not given remote access into the system and wanted to work on a project at home and copied the entire database of everybody's records and took it home. Then a subsequent theft occurred, and that data was then stolen. Now, the story has changed from, well, we recovered it with no, you know, problems, to, maybe there was another copy made and so forth. That's all speculation. But the fact of the matter is, an employee who could, I don't think he was, but could have been paid to acquire this, could have actually been working for somebody else, some other country. And again, I don't think that's the case. But now you have all the personal information of all of our armed forces, present and past. Now, if I want to get even with an occupying force, these guys have said they're going after civilians. Wouldn't you go after their
families? And they have. Yep, absolutely, and that's what they're doing. Hey, let me just shift a little bit. One of the sections in your book on page 124 talks about banking and finance. How vulnerable is our banking and financial service industry in New York, for example, and in Washington, D.C., and Chicago, and L.A., of being attacked? And with that, then, the tremendous market upheaval, because our foundation for this country is a market-based economy.
Well,
how vulnerable are we?
It's extremely vulnerable. And let me clarify what I mean by that. It doesn't mean that they're going to take the stock market down. That's very difficult because they have put in redundancies. You might take it down for a day, okay? But that's not really where the critical issue is. Let's say that you were a Saudi prince, and you knew that the new trade towers were going to be taken down, and you have extra, you know, billions. Where would you put your money?
Now, think interesting about that. Scenario.
That and by the way, when you do that in the market, you steal all the wealth of those who are playing fair. Now, this is a major issue, because now you can impact the markets and you can collect by stimulating activity around the world terrorist-wise. This is critical.
You know what I'm hearing you say, and Jerry, again, you go back to Washington, D.C. And our leadership back there. There does not seem to be, Andrew, any type of strategic center, though I know NSA and other organizations are tracking the internet and all of that. Do we have anybody that really is on top of it day to day other than the NSA?
Well, we have
on pulling together all the attacks that are coming in and all the internet intelligence we're able to get on a daily basis.
We have several centers that are funded by the government. The CERT Center at Carnegie Mellon is one of them. And they monitor attacks and viruses and traffic and so forth. These things are coordinated with Homeland Security, the Department of Defense, and so forth. But we don't really have a clear, unified area of expertise that is supposed to govern all of this. We do now have a new assistant secretary, Garcia, who's been in the job now about 4 or 5 months. And what he is now doing is he's saying that, and again, this is based on press releases and news articles, he's saying that businesses must be responsible and step up and protect the infrastructure. And I don't believe that that's enough, because so much of your infrastructure is outside a business's control. It's a collaborative system, and it requires a maturation process and a civilizing force. And I think one central authority might be able to do that.
Well, it seems to me, Doctor, that once again we go right back to so many people sitting in Washington basically saying, not on my watch, that they've got other things to be concerned about. And especially right now, what's a little bit disconcerting for me is here we are approaching a period of time in our country where all we're going to be thinking about, or not we, but our politicians, the upcoming election. And this is a prime time for anyone who wants to create any kind of havoc in this country, because those people are basically asleep.
Well, you know, we have the necessity of power. That's what I, you know, see going on. And anything to stay in power is the way they operate. Well, the fact of the matter is, if you reside over a inhibited, destroyed, demoralized United States, you really don't have much in the way of power. It's better that we build America up, that we actually see the problem. I mean, Winston Churchill and Roosevelt both said that until your populace understands the threat, you can't mobilize them, or much less mobilize anyone else to the threat. And I think that we really were preoccupied. We're more worried about American Idol and whose son is going to be married to whose daughter, and on all this sort of stuff. And that's fine. We'd still have to have some measure of a life.
That's right. Andrew, in your book, you say the United States has 159 million Internet subscribers. And interestingly enough, China is number two with 71 million, and South Korea with 41 million. Compared, say, to Sweden, which is 5 million.
Well, and here's the thing. Those countries that have a serious Internet infrastructure are also the world's strongest economies. There's a direct correlation. The top 20 GDP countries, with the exception of two, are also the top 20 Internet countries.
Japan, Germany, France, United Kingdom, Italy.
Yes, and with what that says is this global information infrastructure that we have now put in place is sustaining our economy. It is allowing us to grow. It is allowing us to share our ideologies and philosophies and culture, and it's bringing the world together. And that's also why the jihad movement is starting to flourish.
Yeah, they're on top of it. Matter of fact, we've interrogated several at Guantanamo Bay who had college-level master's degree training in information technology. Our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, has been Dr. Andrew M. Kolarik. His book, Cyber Terrorism, everyone should read, especially those in the information technology business. Andrew, we want to thank you very much for coming on to Stand Up America, and we would like to get you back on and go more in-depth than we could today, if that's okay.
Oh, absolutely. It's been my pleasure.
Well, it was a pleasure meeting you at the Intelligence Summit, and you're making a great contribution. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Andrew Kolarik. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
Thank you, Doctor, very much.
Thank you.
Jerry, important subject, and with being a superpower as far as economics, we know that we're a target. We know our financial system's a target. We know that they're educating the jihadists all over the world to be able to get into the Internet and do a lot of damage.
I know, and it's really frightening to think that where we're at today, we have Washington, the people that are there to protect us, aren't doing it.
Well, we're not prepared to deal with today and tomorrow, that's for sure. This is Stand Up America. We will be streaming around the Internet for the next 23 hours on righttalk.com. We'll be back after this important commercial.